We turn to Brian Lawton of the NHL Network, one of the first American, well, I think he was the first American player to be drafted number one overall back in 1983 by the Minnesota North Stars. He's been a player agent. He's been a GM, sensational commentator with the NHL Network. And Brian's been with us before, joins us now. Brian, good morning. Sandy Clef, Orlando Franklin on the Fan in Denver. All right. As you might imagine, fans around here are acting as if the Avalanche are trailing in this series, tied at two games apiece. What should fans realize about a series that has so far involved one close win, one blowout for each of the two teams, and home team wins in all four games?
I think the most important thing to keep in mind is that even though the Avs were our regular season champion, they were tied with the Vegas Golden Knights for the most points at 82, and they actually played each other almost dead even.
Yes, they did.
In that regular season.
So, 58 games.
Yeah, the only thing that's surprising is the way we got here.
Yep.
Not necessarily that we are here at 2-2, but the Avs absolutely destroying Vegas, who, to be fair to them, at least in their minds, they had to create a narrative that, you know, we had a really tough series against Minnesota. We had nothing. We couldn't even put up a meaningful fight. The Avs swamped them in that game one. The big line for the Avs, of course, MacKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen come up with five goals and all looked perfect for the Colorado Avalanche. In the second game, you know, Vegas woke up, maybe re-energized, had an extra day off. Marc-Andre Fleury came in to the Nets. He got an extra 4 days off to recuperate. And since then, it started off even in that second game, but Vegas really put a massive push on, still lost. And then the two games in Vegas were pretty pretty convincing for Vegas. They were close games. Grubauer played amazing. But I'm not surprised it's 2-2. I'm just surprised how we got here. That's all.
Brian, to me, it looks like Vegas is doing a heck of a job of making their defense now to create offense. And when you look at the Avs, they're not being able to get shots on net and really dump the puck in past that blue line. How do you combat that, you know, where now the Avs can really switch and get those shots back up on Fleury and try to minimize some of the shots that Grubauer's facing?
Well, a couple of things that are going on now is that the, you know, the Avalanche really flexed their top-end skill players early on in the series, and Vegas is kind of flexing their depth. The Avs have had trouble combating that top line for Vegas, who's done a nice job of really limiting Colorado's opportunities by their big line. And we found out, like some other teams, and this is why I think that Colorado will win tonight, but I'm still nervous for them in the series. And the reason why is we've seen teams like Toronto that are also top-heavy. We've seen teams like Edmonton, who's very top-heavy, get swept. Colorado has more depth than those teams, but Vegas has more depth in total. So if this turns into a war of attrition, which is what Vegas is trying to do to direct this series, I think it's going to be tough on Colorado. With that said, I do believe they'll win tonight. I believe they'll have the Ray game. It'll be a close game, but Colorado will pull it out. After that, the longer it goes, I do think it favors Vegas.
Brian, in your opinion, is this Avs team missing Calvert and Kadri? Or would those guys be the big difference makers when you talk about the depth that Vegas is flexing right now? Do you think that it's a different series with those two guys, if those two guys were active in the series?
I think you hit the nail right on the head. All the teams now, you know, as we bring more teams into the league, talent is spread out more. And, you know, I'm looking at the Boston Bruins, who lost Brandon Carlo, and all of a sudden they look slightly outmatched by the New York Islanders, who I thought were slightly outmatched by the Boston Bruins, even though they are pretty level teams. While it's the same in this series right now, we also saw it in the Tampa series with Carolina. You know, Carolina, you know, they played each other tough during the regular season, but Carolina was the decided champion. Throw Kucherov in there, and all of a sudden, now Tampa has a decided edge. So for Colorado, they're missing those guys. It would be great news if somehow Kadri's suspension got reduced. Hopefully we'll find out about that today. I'm told we're supposed to. So that'll be an interesting decision. But at the end of the day, it's too late to add depth. And I am wondering if Colorado is going to have enough to get through this series.
We'll let you run on this, but kind of on that point, the Avs obviously won a bunch of games without Kadri, lost the last two, and his absence seemed to be felt. But there's no doubt individually that Burakovsky, who scored 19 goals in 53 games, Brian, during the regular season, not only in this series but in the St. Louis series, mostly played without Kadri. He didn't score either. He doesn't have any goals in the playoffs so far through eight games. How do you get him going?
I do think he's gotten some good looks, to be fair to him, but nothing is going in. He, you know, his statistical performance has been a shell of itself from what you would have expected from him, and you can attribute that directly to not having a center. And I say that because I think Burakovsky has really enlarged his career since he's been traded to Colorado. But the analysis at the end of the day between complementary or players that drive a line is he's more of a complementary player. He needs at least another player or two to help him hit his top level. Right now, the Avs haven't found that combination for him, and they need to find it fast because you've got to have a secondary option. Brandon Saad has found ways to score, obviously.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But not Burakovsky, and that is concerning. You want to have, you know, your scoring spread out just a little bit more. It just hasn't played well in this playoffs, in this truncated season, when top guys seem more susceptible than ever to have big games and to get shut down. That's why I say, you know, I'm cautious for Colorado. I predicted before the playoffs started that it would be Colorado and Tampa in the final.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling as great about that right now.
Brian, our thanks. We appreciate it, as always.
My pleasure, guys, and thank you for the introduction. A little bit apropos, I was drafted on this date,
this
1983,
date.
June 8th.
Wow. All right.
And I have 9 billion people to remind me.
Yes, 38 years ago today. Well, it was a monumental occasion, and you went with the right team, Minnesota North Stars, the state of hockey, and we appreciate your analysis. We'll be watching on the NHL Network for, as always, the most comprehensive coverage of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
There he goes, Brian Lawton, and he's always a gentleman and a pleasure. And so many of these NHL Network commentators –